This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. So today's guest is a Grammy Award-winning rap artist, an outspoken advocate for mental health and for addiction recovery. And now, he is the founder of a golf sportswear line called Bogey Boys. Please welcome Ben Haggerty, better known as Macklemore. Ben, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How you doing, man?
All right. Great to talk to you.
Likewise.
So golf, how did this come about? And how long have you been in the golf game?
Great question. Golf. Would have never thought that I would be talking about golf on a podcast. And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
It started a little over 2 years ago. And it was Thanksgiving. I got peer pressure to go out onto a golf course. I had never really played. You know, there was a handful of times where I played little, pitch and putt back when I was a kid, but I had never played a real course before. Got peer pressure to go out. And after hitting multiple houses on the golf course in Hawaii, I ended up in a fairway bunker, grabbed a 5-iron, and I hit it pure, and I got that feeling of, what is that? I want that again. And I've been chasing that feeling ever since.
That's amazing. And I can say with all honesty, I have never had that feeling because I've never hit the ball straight. So one day. That's pretty awesome. So so you've been on the golf course, and anyone who has followed your music career, I'm sure clothes has a big part of golf and the look out there. What style did you go with, and how has it evolved to you actually having your own golf wear company?
Yeah, I've always liked golf clothing, like old school golf clothing.
Yeah.
In fact, feels almost cliche to tell this story. When I was 17 years old, I was out in Brooklyn for the summer doing a art program at Pratt, and I would go to thrift shops and I would get old plaid pants and tartan jackets, mm-hmm. and I would basically just go buy a bunch of stuff from the 70s that old golfers would wear, and I would dress up in these clothes, and I would call myself Professor Macklemore. That was my alias. It usually, that name definitely also came from a healthy amount of malt liquor at the time. And I would go out, and that was the alias. And eventually I dropped the Professor, and the Macklemore just kind of stuck. And fast forward, here I am designing golf clothes. So, it's always been something that I have thought was dope. I think that if you go and look back at what people were wearing, in particularly the 70s, but even the 60s and the 80s, the early 80s, there was a certain style and aesthetic that I really resonate with. The print, mm-hmm. the cut of the garment. Not as much like super bell bottomy, but just overall, just kind of old school. A little bit higher waisted pants.
Yeah.
The browns, the earth tones. I just always liked that stuff. The greens. And when I started playing golf, I very quickly realized that the golf fashion world is missing something. It is missing that creativity. It's missing that old aesthetic, the Arnold Palmers, the Lee Trevinos. People look the same. Everybody mm-hmm. looks the same. Everyone is wearing the same polo and the same khakis and the same hat. Everything has the same shape, and there's nothing there that I, in a pro shop, that I felt like I wanted to spend my money on, which is a rare feeling for me because I definitely enjoy shopping.
Yeah.
And yet I was in these pro shops like I can't even buy anything.
Right.
This is trash. So I wanted to switch it up.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, like that. I'm not a golfer, I'm terrible at it, but that seems like for me, that would be like 75% of the draw is to dress like that in public and it be completely acceptable.
Exactly. You know, if I'm going to go out and play a round of golf and it's going to take me 4.5 hours, I want to be the prettiest dude on the court.
That's awesome.
My game is not going to be that, but I can dress like that.
Right, right. Exactly. That's awesome. So, so what hand do you have in, you know, in running the company and the designs? Like, how involved are you?
Probably too involved, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. But, it has been a heavy lift in terms of creative energy. And I have loved 98% of it. It was my idea from the beginning, and I brought on a team, some guys down in California called Ceremony of Roses, and have been working with one of their designers. His name's Nick Guzman, and him and I have just kind of tapped in. He's in LA, but you know, with COVID and Zoom, we've been able to work together. My fingerprints are on everything, from the kind of inspiration pieces we drew from, sourcing those materials, to the fabrics, to the cuts, to the zipper, to the buttons, to the way that the pants are hemmed. Everything is has been from my imagination and my creative prowess. I think that there's something about if I'm going to do a job, I want to be involved in it. I don't just want to slap my name on it and think that it's going to sell. Like, this isn't about, it's cliche to say, but it's not about making money to me. It's about, making the game more accessible to all people that want to play the game, to expanding this amazing game of golf and making it inclusive and looking good while we're doing it. And I think that that's really the mission statement of what Bogey Boys is all about.
That's awesome. So you said you love 98% of it. So let's talk about the 2%. What has been maybe more challenging than you anticipated?
Pants. Okay. Making a pant is very challenging. If I could go back, I might just save pants for later on in my life.
Really?
Props to Levi's and Dockers and whoever else makes pants out there. It is very time extensive process to make sure that they fit right. And I'm just someone that really cares about the cut and shape of clothing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a lot of manufacturers on kind of a more industry global level take that much time to think about creative cuts of clothes. So again, I just wanted to create something that I wanted to wear, but the pants, definitely, there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of slight alterations, a lot of, packages coming in the mail, trying them on and cussing loudly at the mirror as they were not right.
That's great. And do you, as the sort of, head of this whole thing, are you like, we got to get this right? Or is there a point where you're like, okay, this is good enough? Or how do you do that?
I'm definitely more in the camp of we have to get this right. Mm-hmm. Now, at a certain point, it's like music. Like, at a certain point, you're like, dude, I could spend my entire life mixing this song.
Yeah.
But this has to get out to the people. And, as an artist, I think it's difficult to kind of finally be like, okay, this is ready to go. And it's kind of this work in progress thing. But yeah, with Bogey Boys, eventually it's like, okay, this this, we need to wrap this up. This is, we've been working on this now for 18 months. I think in a lot of ways, like most brands that we're launching probably would have done it in 2 to 8 months, but it's important to me, particularly for this first drop, but for all drops, that everything is done properly and that it's something that I stand behind. If I'm going to put my name on it and I'm going to put my blood, sweat, and tears into it, I want it to be something that when I put it on, I know that we did the best job that we possibly could.
That's awesome. So what, how are you, the brand, let's talk about how are you getting, you know, this message out there? You know, what are some of the tactics you're using to connect with people who maybe aren't, you know, already hardcore golfers?
I mean, I think the great thing about the clothing is that it's centered around golf. It's called Bogey Boys. All of these clothes are pieces that I would wear off the course as well. Mm-hmm. And that was an important part of it. It's like, even if you don't golf, like there's an outfit for you, 100%. And I want to hit those people as well. You know, it's a lifestyle company just as much as it is a golf clothing company. And it's interesting. With music, I think that there has been, you know, you kind of start to realize who your fan base is, who's coming to the shows. You get to see these people, you meet these people, you know, your fans become family. It's very much a community that you build off of music. And this has been different in the sense that I have no idea who is going to purchase our clothing.
Right.
Like, I just don't know.
Yeah.
It could be something that's successful off the jump. It could be something that takes a while. It could be something that doesn't resonate. I think for me, with any creative project, it's all about going into it with as little expectations as possible, because that's going to lead to disappointment and resentment of the process. The most beautiful part of anything creative is the actual process of the design, of the lyrics, of making the art. And if that is at the forefront, then regardless of the outcome, it's going to be successful. Regardless of, you know, if I put this out next week and, you know, we get 2 sales and it remains that way, then that's what it was meant to be. And it was an amazing experience of trying something new. Mm. Obviously, I'm hoping for something different than that. And
yeah.
I think that it will be. I think there's a lane, and I think that the brand is going to be successful. But I'm also not tied to that. It's all about the experience.
More coming up from our guests. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey there. So I like to cook, and more importantly, I like to eat. So I'm very excited that we have a sponsor called HelloFresh, which is an awesome, awesome meal kit that gets delivered to your door. It's extremely popular and with good cause. People love HelloFresh so much because it cuts out the stress of meal planning and going to the grocery store and, oh, I forgot the thyme and, oh, the rosemary and I forgot the entire chicken, which was the thing I was trying to make. So they make it all easy. It gets delivered to your door. You don't have to think. And then they've got these really simple plans. They got 10-minute plans. They've got 20-minute ones. Really low preparation, but really good recipes. You can make quick breakfasts and lunch. We're all stuck at home. We're cooking every single meal. So not only is it easy to do, but it puts some variety in your life instead of making the same thing over and over and over. They've got 25 different recipes to choose from. That's good because honestly, I don't know about you, but making mac and cheese or whatever, what do you want for lunch, kids? You want to jump off a bridge at a certain point. And not only do they have a lot of variety, but they have a lot of healthy variety. That's what's awesome. Because, you know, you get stuck in these ruts and you're shoving all this, like, greasy and cheesy food into your face. You know, packs on the pandemic pounds. You don't need that in your life. They've got all kinds of options that are low calorie, that they're carb smart. There's vegetarian options. I went with the vegetarian option for a week or so, you know, just to like kind of reset everything. And then, yeah, I wanted some chicken. So I went back to chicken. And that's the great thing is that you can constantly change it. It's super easy. You go to the website, you choose, you know, meal by meal, week by week. You can skip a week. You can say you're going out of town. It's really, really user-friendly, super easy to manage. So how do you use it? Well, I'm glad you asked. You go to HelloFresh.com/GetARealJob12 and you use the code GetARealJob12 and you get 12 free meals, and that's including free shipping. That is an awesome deal. Free meals. So let me repeat that because it's so good. You go to HelloFresh.com/GetARealJob12 and use code GetARealJob12, all one word, for 12 free meals, including free shipping. There is a reason that HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Get involved. And we're back. Can you talk a little bit about creativity, you know, whether it's your music or the clothing designs? Is this something that, you know, you're sitting around and things like zap into your brain? Do you have a process like, okay, I have to write a song now? Do you sit down and go through a certain process? How does that work for you?
You know, I am a, in terms of the design stuff, I am an avid vintage shopper. Particularly with COVID, I have activated my eBay account, which I feel like was was put on some sort of hold back from like 2008 for, you know, not leaving feedback or paying for something from 13 years ago. So I finally got my account back and then it came over. I was like, oh, every night I can go shopping on the internet. And when you have a golf clothing company, everything is kind of like, well, this makes sense. I mean, I should buy this, you know.
Right,
this,
yeah.
Pull over, you know, all over print golf jacket from 1993 because, you know, it's for the brand. So, yeah, there was definitely that. And I think that with that type of thinking where you're kind of constantly in this place of drawing inspiration from other things, when you get in that space, the design start to come. And it's the same thing with music. When I'm in the studio and it's that creative time, I'm looking at the world. You know, I went to IHOP last night, and I haven't gone to many restaurants at all during COVID.
Yeah.
Recently, Washington State went into what they call phase two. We're able to now, you know, sit in restaurants at 25% capacity. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take advantage of this. I met up with my sponsor in recovery, and we went to IHOP, and I'm looking around at IHOP, and I don't know if there was a song there. I don't know if that's going to translate to something, but I felt a visceral connection to humanity that I think I have missed during COVID. You know, there's something about getting out at, you know, a diner at midnight that you feel alive. It changes the pace a little bit. The colors look different at midnight. There's something there that, again, might not translate exactly to lyrics, but it does translate to something in terms of fueling that creative spirit. And when you get in that place, a song is anywhere. A design is anywhere. You know, I'm looking out the window right now and, you know, I have a hedge in my backyard. Like, that could be on a polo. You never know where it's going to come from. I think it's about staying open and letting that creative spark hit you whenever it pops up. And if you are in tune with what's going on around you, that spark happens all the time.
That's awesome. So you mentioned, you know, being there with your sponsor, and you've been very outspoken about your, you know, your struggles with substance abuse and mental health, and which I think is amazing. And I wonder, you know, if you could talk about why has it been important for you to be so open and honest about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I went to treatment for the first time in 2008. And, you know, at the time, I didn't have much of a career. It was definitely a local career at best, one that was kind of slipping away from me. I was able to record people in my room and, you know, sell some CDs and do a couple shows a month, enough to pay rent, but didn't have much of a career. And I remember going to treatment and getting out and kind of struggling with, like, you know, do I, I've always been really personal with the records that I write. Is it something that I want to speak on about this issue? And didn't take much time grappling with the idea of like, look, this is who I am. And part of this whole journey is being transparent. You know, a huge issue in our society is the stigma around the disease of addiction and our preconceived notions around it, and just our general ignorance around the disease of addiction. And there, when people share openly and honestly around their struggles, it creates a space where others feel safe to do the same. And in my journey through recovery for the last 12 and a half years, it's been one that hasn't led to continuous sobriety by any means. But one thing that I have realized is that this is a lifelong journey for me. And I don't ever want to project that I have it figured out, or that, you know, or that I'm at a place where I'm not. This is something that's going to come in and out. And there's going to be moments of like really feeling connected. There's going to be moments of feeling lost. There's relapse has been a part of my story. I needed to share that experience. It's that human, that humanness that, that ties us together. And at the end of the day, life is really short. You know, it's really long and really short. And I'm trying to save my life. I'm not trying to look good on paper. I'm not trying to, you know, be in a recovery 12-step meeting and have the best share. I'm here literally to save my life. And in that process, if I can inspire others to walk the same path or a similar path on the journey through recovery, that's amazing. Because it was those people that, that, you know, blazed a trail for me to follow that led to me saving my life and having some sort of reason to be here that's bigger than myself and bigger than drugs and changing the way that I feel.
That's awesome, man. That's so great that you're doing that. And, you know, so many people have struggles, and I think it's so great that you're so open about it. 'Cause as you said, just helps people not feel so alone. So I commend you for that. And, you know, our audience, whether they're want to be, you know, a creative person, or, you know, they're starting an app, or they're people are striving for success. And as someone who wanted success and then found it, you know, what can you tell people about, you know, that journey? And then once you sort of achieve that thing you were going for, like handling that, like what were you surprised by?
You know, I think we measure success in a way that is almost, it's this linear thing, right? It's like, you know, it's this, the plight of success, you know, this social hierarchical ladder that we climb, whether that's a dollar amount, whether that's social capital, whether that's, you know, a company or whatever it is, a chosen profession or climbing the ranks within a company. I think that success is measured in this very interesting way. And it almost feels disingenuous to me, because success for me looks very different today. You know, I own a nice home. I'm sitting in my office where I have a bunch of awards, and, you know, I have nice things. To me, none of those don't capture success. Those are reflections of hard work, but those are fleeting, right? What success is who am I today? You know, it's not what I did yesterday. Tomorrow's not here yet. Who am I today? Who am I showing up for? Am I the best version of myself? Where is my spiritual connection? Am I truly happy? Am I fulfilled? Am I using external things to make myself feel good about who I am? Or am I truly content with the character and the person that I am in this moment? And what am I doing to better that? And when I'm in that place, I feel successful. Because, you know, there's been times in my career where, again, on paper, I was super successful, you know, with number one songs, you know, biggest songs in the world. And I wasn't happy. So if that's what success is, then I don't want that. I need a spiritual connection. I need a reason. I need a purpose. I need to be of service to my community. I need to have a community. I need to have people that I can rely on. I need trusted friends. I need to have a relationship with my family that is growing through the ups and downs. I need to have trust in my relationship with my wife and be the best dad that I can be. To me, those are the things that are success for me at this point in my life.
That's so great. Really great advice for anyone listening. I'm here in New York. We've got a foot of snow outside, but the snow will hopefully one day stop falling and melt, and then I can hit the miniature golf course. So what Bogey Boys outfit should I be wearing when I do that?
It's a great question. And I would do better with the visual, you know, but I'm thinking, I'm thinking that we don't know the weather. It's cold. I like for you the all over print dog leg windbreaker that we have. A little polo underneath. We're going to keep it classic. We got some nice green pants. You're going to stand out on the miniature golf course. And, you're going to have a Bogey Boys towel, which is absolutely of no use on a miniature golf course, but that's going to be part of the ensemble.
Well, I work up quite a sweat, so I think it will be obvious.
There you go.
That sounds pretty fresh. I'm going to have to put that in my cart as soon as we hang up here. Well, man, it's been really great talking to you and hearing your story and just hearing all about the passion that you have. It's infectious. I'm sure people have told you that before. When you hear someone who's like genuinely fired up about what they're doing, it really gets you get all fired up. So very cool stuff. And I wonder, this is probably putting you on the spot, so you could say absolutely not. But, you're renowned for your freestyle abilities. And I wonder if you could freestyle about Entrepreneur as we play this off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's an acceptable answer.
It was a great try.
I tried.
I like the compliment in there as well. You definitely gave it a solid effort, but the answer remains.
All right.
I was like, is he going to ask me to freestyle right now? No way. Yes, there it is. Yep.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time. Well, hey, man, really.
Maybe next time.
So great talking to you. And again, so great hearing your story. And just a thank you for everyone for all the stuff that you're doing to kind of help people along. And I am about to buy that outfit right now. So I'm going to hang up and do just that. Ben McElmore, great talking to you.
Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate it.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.